Morning, church. Buenos días, iglesia. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Feliz año nuevo, iglesia. Hebrews 13:8 says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's pretty much proof that Jesus has no New Year's resolutions. He's simply the same. But he lives outside of time. We don't. And with holidays ending, people going back to school, people going back to work, the number changing from 2018 to 2019, it's normal to feel a sense of being refreshed, renewed, and restarted. And if we choose to have new resolutions for Jesus, I don't think Jesus is mad about that. I think it's okay for us to have a new resolve for the Lord in 2019. So my desire is that in 2019 we will be like Jesus more than ever before. That we make it a point to look at Christ's life on earth and try our best to mimic it like never before. My logic begins here in Romans 12, 3 through 5. Here's my argument for this. Romans 12, 3 through 5. And it reads like this. For through the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think so as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. For just as we have many members in one body, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. So we see two very important points here. We see Paul expressing that the level of humility that we should have, that we should not think of ourselves better than we ought to think of ourselves. That's very important. But also, we see one of the many verses that says that we here are the very body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. Now, at some point, Jesus Christ was here on earth in his body. He therefore was his own body of Christ. But the idea is that now that he is in heaven, at the right hand of God, we are now that body. And so what Christ did on earth in his body, we are to mimic that ourselves. And so what did Christ do on earth while he was in the body? Have you considered how he lived his life, his actions in the flesh before going on the cross? And I wonder how much can we as a church mimic the way he acted? I want to attempt to do the same. Now, obviously, it's hard to exactly copy Christ, who is the perfect God in man. It would take time for us to get more and more like Jesus. That is our calling, to become more and more like him. But I believe we should make that a resolution, to be like never before, like Jesus Christ was on the earth. Because even our church growth will depend upon how Christ-like we are. Even church growth will depend upon one thing: how Christ-like are we? Of course, there are various and other minor elements that contribute to growth. But the most important factor is, the question is, are we like Christ? Are we showing Christ? Paul had a very simple strategy. You will find that the most important ideas of Christianity are very, very simple. They could be hard to do. They may require prayer and study and meditation and really serious dedication. But really, the idea is quite simple. And here is Paul's entire strategy for a very complicated people, the Corinthian church. 1 Corinthians 2, 1 and 2 reads like this. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 1 and 2. And when I came to you, brethren, this is how Paul began this work at Corinth. And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superiority of speech or wisdom, proclaiming to you the testimony of God. I suppose Paul could have brought his experience, his intelligence, his Pharisaical background and impressed that upon the people. But he said, I did not come in that way. He came with one strategy. Verse 2, he said, I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And from that basis, we see that this work of Corinth was established. You say, really, Paul, was that your entire strategy? Was that all you did? Was there not more involved with the situation? And trust me, that Corinthian church, when you read their problems, they had some serious problems. Today we heard about their issues with the Lord's Supper. They weren't doing the Lord's Supper right. They are very complicated people of God, and yet Paul said, my strategy to you was Jesus Christ and him crucified. That was Paul's strategy. And where does Paul get that from? Well, I think he got it from John 12:27. John 12:27-33. John 12:27-33. We heard it read already today. Let's break it down a bit more. He says, now my soul has become troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose, I came to this hour. All of what Christ did is confirmed, is made special, is made holy, actually is made important because of what he does next. There is the impression that Jesus Christ recognized how difficult it would be. And you see him questioning the situation at times like this. You see him almost in his own mind trying to get together the idea, to get the strength to go on a cross, to bear the burdens of the entire world upon himself, to be teased and put down and blasphemed by the very people that he loves, people who created through him, put him down like that. All these things he recognized, and so you will see him say, is there a way to save me from the situation? But he recognized this is the entire reason why he came. This is the entire reason why his words make sense, because of this. He says, Father, glorify your name. In the book of John, as I always say, in other books as well, but no more like in the book of John, you see Jesus Christ saying, God, you're my focus. I'm doing this for you. This is not about me. This is for you. Then a voice came out of heaven. I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. So the crowd of people who stood by and heard it were saying that it had thundered. Others were saying an angel has spoken to him. Jesus answered and said, this voice has not come for my sake, but for your sakes. Now judgment is upon this world. Now the ruler of this world will be cast out. But then he says this, if I lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. What he reveals in this verse is a very underrated discussion about how people come to the Lord. It's what Paul said. It's what Paul said, I only will bring this. He said, I only bring Christ and him crucified. Because in verse 33, he says, he was saying this to indicate the kind of death by which he was to die. How in the world can this gruesome appearance of Christ on the cross draw people? Doesn't it repel people? Isn't it the idea horrifying? How is it that Christ on the cross is such an idea that will bring people to Christ? I believe the strategy that he spoke about, that Paul spoke about, will work today. That if we show Christ, and also why Christ died, then people will come. People will be attracted. All people will come to him. And where is Jesus today? You know, the only people who have Jesus is the church. That's it. Jesus Christ cannot be found anywhere else outside of the people who are called Christians. And so if we are a people who are showing Christ and Christ crucified, all people will come as well. Jesus Christ is in the church. He is the head of the body of Christ that we are. It is we who must show. No one else can show it like us. Christ and Christ crucified. And what the meaning of Christ crucified is, how our lives are changed because of Christ crucified, that he died for our sins and we are conquering our sins and we are showing the results of a people who are having our sins washed away. Why is it, again, that people are drawn to the gruesome idea of Christ and the cross. We have heard of many ideas of what it meant. There have been movies that have tried to portray what it meant. And there's very difficult images that we may have in our eyes and in our minds about that idea. Why, however, does this bring people to the Lord? Because whether folks acknowledge it or not, whether they know it or not, Jesus Christ and Him crucified is what they need. There is almost an instinctual desire to understand more about Jesus Christ and God. This is why the discussion about God and Christ will never, ever, ever be away from our society. People will always be talking about it, running away from it, attacking it. They must deal with the idea of Christ and Him crucified because it is essential for us. He is essential for us. People need Christ more than they need food. People need Christ more than drink. People need Christ more than money. They need Christ more than anything. And so therefore, if we are a people, if we are a church showing what the world needs, you will find people come along to want to hear more about this Christ and Him crucified, despite all the obstacles, despite all the atheism, despite all the immorality. It doesn't matter. This is what everybody needs. Romans 6 says that if we are baptized in the name of Jesus, we are baptized into His death. So the very key to our salvation, which is partly baptism, along with belief in Him, along with repentance, is salvation. It's baptism linked to His death. The Bible, so let's read Romans 6. I didn't have it in my sermon, but Romans, this is a very basic logic here. Romans 6 says that if we are united in His death, Romans 6 verse 4, if we have been buried with Him through baptism into death, we also will be raised up again with Him with His life. Christ died, but He's now in heaven. So if we link with that crucified, dead Christ, just as He rose again, we too can look forward to going to heaven when we die. That's the promise. That's the guarantee. If we believe and are baptized, we will be saved. So Christ and Him crucified is the core of what we are all about. How can I act like Christ? How can I show Christ crucified? And if we do so, Christ gives guarantee all people will be drawn unto Me. We will see the body of Christ grow. It worked for Christ. It worked for Paul. So I know it can work for us in 2019. And so with that conviction in mind, I want to tell you what I plan to be part of in 2019. I will continue to do everything that I do, I've always done with this church. But a few other things as well that I invite the entire church to also be a part of in 2019. I want to simply notify the body of these ministries that I want to be busy with this year, with the intent and purpose of trying to become more like Jesus, to act more like Him. You see, Jesus Christ went out and was with people. Jesus Christ was always with people. If there's one theme that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John share, they have their differences, but they share one powerful thing. Jesus Christ was always with people, always talking to people, always teaching with individuals. Sure, He was by Himself at times. The Bible says He got up early in the morning, isolated Himself, and prayed to the Lord. We should do the same thing, okay? But the vast majority of His stories, like 95, 98% of the rest of them, involved other people. Jesus Christ was with people so often and so much. Look at Matthew 11, 16 through 19. Matthew 11, 16 through 19, because the people of those days began to have a wrong understanding of their purpose. They thought, because I'm godly, I should be away from people. Because I'm a person of God, I should separate myself from these fallen individuals of the world. And so they couldn't quite understand that Christ came for people. So he says, Matthew 11, 16, here's Christ describing this. But to what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces who call out to the other children and say, we played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn. Okay, he's discussing the flippancy, the way people on earth are kind of back and forth. They don't quite know what they want. Because he will say, for John came neither eating or drinking, and they say he's got a demon. What do you want? But the Son of Man, talking about himself, came eating and drinking, spending time with people, and they say, behold, a gluttonous man and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom, he says, is vindicated by her deeds. He's going to say, but what they may call me these things. They may lie about me, but my actions will speak louder than anything else. But look what he did. Look how he acted. He spent so much time with people who acted improperly, they thought he was acting improperly. And they accused him of that. Quite honestly, I would love if our church was accused of being a church that was a friend of those in need. If they said, you people in church spend too much time with people in the world. Those people at Central, they're too busy with other people outside the church. You know, I wish they would be in church a lot more. I would love to be accused of that. That we are a people who are spending a lot of time with those in spiritual and physical needs, as Christ himself did. Therefore, I would love to see our church, what I plan to do this year, is attempting to have at least one outreach or service project in our church per month. Ideally, amongst our very neighbors here, we are blessed to have a neighborhood church, to be in a neighborhood. There are so many churches that wish they were where we are right now. I visited the Susun Church of Christ last Sunday during my time off, and you know they're a storefront church, and they're working hard, okay? But they say we have to move because no one knows where we are. We're around the corner of a storefront facing the highway. And what a blessing it is to be amidst and amongst a community around neighbors. And so ideally, these attempts to have outreach and service once per month would be from our immediate vicinity outward. But obviously, I recognize that may be hard to do at times, especially in January as a short notice that we have. But because of our short notice this month in January, I propose that we work with A Street this month. January 19th, I'm already talking to Carrie Terry there about this. Every Saturday, they are giving food to the poor in that church. And so I propose that this month, because of a short notice, that we help them out with such a work on January 19th. And then for February, we can together figure out what we want to do, preferably, again, closer to home and in this community. Guys, there is tons to do. Last year, I began to think about the opportunities to do community outreach and service. Are the things that we can do? There's too much to do, quite honestly. Way too much to do. funny or not, I love Mojo Burger down the street. I love Mojo Burger. That's my place. Especially, isn't probably that way. I love Mojo Burger. They love me, okay? and I asked them, I said, would you like, to do something with the body of Christ here in community outreach? And they want to do so. They would love to help out. And they considered, they brought up the idea of helping us out. You know, we have an Easter outreach program here. They would love to help us out with that, okay? And that's them down the street. I also was thinking about, how do we get involved with schools in our community? How do we get involved with a school? What can we do? Then it occurred to me, there's a Montessori school right here, okay, in our presence. How about that? And so the weekend that I was thinking about this, Rebecca, who is the head of the Montessori school here, we began discussing that together. And she said, I've always wanted to do things with the church here. One thing that this area needs is that they want to plant more trees around the area here. And even doing something like that might be an idea with them. And they said, we want to get more involved with your Trunk or Treat program. I said, well, why not? Why not? This is what we're all about, trying to get more children involved with our Trunk or Treat program. But these are just two examples of things that we can do with our community, for the community, to be more impact in our community as a church here. Letty Coronado is not here right now, but Letty has for years already been at least four times a year delivering food and doing charity work pretty much on her own for quite a long time. I spoke to her. I said, now, why can't we as a church help you out with that? Why can't we do at least two or three times help you out with what you're doing, distributing your work in this city? And she has all the connections. She knows the people. She knows the system. It's really quite simple to get involved with the situation. But these are the kind of ideas that we're talking about here. How do we do what Christ did? How do we participate with, how do we talk to, how do we involve ourselves with people outside of us? Finally, there are officials like Dan Rocha and others who are always, believe it or not, there are people who want to work with churches in our community. I know we tend to think that nobody wants us to be around. That's not quite the truth. Okay, they might not be ready for our message yet, okay? But they want, the desire to have community service is there. Very few want to do it, okay? So I've already spoken to different officials and different groups and programs who are looking for people who want to do work in this community that I believe we could be part of. So I plan myself to be part of that, leading that, and I would love to have as many people as possible with that as well. I will be busy creating, solidifying, and notifying the church about these plans as they come about. And again, as many people as possible, I would love to be involved with this process. Number two, I want to start small groups in February. Small groups in February. We've always loved small groups in this church. It's always been wonderful experiences. I think I've done it twice this so far. Two or three times we've had a series of small groups in this church, and they've always gone very well. So my question for the church is, and I will, you know, email and text and call people as well, but how many people will be able to open up their homes once a week for small groups? Over a period of around 7 to 9 weeks, I want to begin in February and go probably until sometime in April. I must visit Switzerland this year. I have family there. I got to visit sometimes. I must visit, okay? I'm coming back, okay? I'm going to be there for 3 weeks, probably come back. So I love that. I would love to begin small groups in February and do that continuing into my trip to see Nicole's family for those weeks. But how many families can open up their homes? How many pairs of teachers can we find? In the past, we have always had every small group taught by a more mature teacher and a teacher in training. Chris Gaetan, sorry, bro, put you on the spot. Chris Gaetan already said, bro, I'm working with you, Alex. I said, all right, bro, let's do it. Hey, let's work together. I got no problem. I'll do multiple groups. All right, I don't got a problem with that. But Chris and I are planning on doing a group as well. This year, we just got to find a home to meet. That's all there is to it. There can also be a Spanish-speaking small group. There could be a women's small group led by a pair of women. The sky's the limit. It really comes down to this. How many homes will open up? How many pairs of teachers do we have? The curriculum will be written out. I've always written the curriculum out. I plan to do so by February. Again, we just need people who are willing to open up their homes and brethren who are willing to teach. It doesn't matter where you live. If you want to do something, we'll do something where you live. It's what we're all about. The benefit of small groups, again, it's about people. It's about opening ourselves up to people. It's about being not here, being out there. There's more openness as well in smaller, the first century style environment. In these small groups, we can express, like no other area, fellowship and hospitality. These are the hearts of a church. And I love to see the training for future leaders and teachers. It's a wonderful time of fellowship and teaching, just the development of the lessons. Every week I see people growing up. I see people maturing, looking into the Word of God, and talking, and not per se in front of an entire church, which is a lot of pressure, talking in front of 7, 8, 9 people instead. And also I really want to emphasize something that we use this as an opportunity to invite our friends, to invite our neighbors, to invite our peers who might not be comfortable coming to a big church setting, but are more comfortable in a smaller environment. Let's make this also an evangelical outreach as well, as much as it is encouraging and fellowship. Because I don't have the exact theme yet, but I'm leaning towards looking at the many examples of community service and outreach in the Bible. Thank you, Celeste, for that idea. She mentioned, how about community service in the Bible? How is that shown? What did it do? What were the results? Okay, I'm thinking about Christ and the 5,000. I'm thinking about the Old Testament where it says don't pick the outside layers of your property so people who don't have as much can feed from there. What are the examples of community outreach and service for other people in the Word of God? What lessons can we come out because of that? I'm leaning towards that very, very, very much. Look at Acts 2, 44 to 47. What I want to see is this power ignited through small groups. There's a power here in these verses. We want churches to get bigger and bigger, but we lose that. You know, the Susun church is really small. And they say, you know, we wish we were as big as you guys. But, you know, when out there at Susun, just the small group, the small church interactions with the minister and the people, it was amazing to see. It was amazing to see. And that could be found again in small groups. You know, we glorify God with what we have. But look at the power we see in small groups here. Acts 2:44, and all those who had believed were together and all things in common. And they began selling their property and possessions and were sharing them with all, as anyone might have need. Day by day, continuing with one mind in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. I love that idea. They were taking their meals together with gladness and sincerity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people, and no surprise, and the Lord was adding to the number, day by day, those who are being saved. You know, when you mimic the example of the Word of God, it must grow. Things have to grow. Healthy things grow by themselves. And so you see the results of this power here that I would love to mimic between the months of February and the end of April. Finally, late spring or early summer, Mark Hargrove and I would like to teach classes and present sermons together, studying the topic of elders and deacons. Really breaking down the topic as presented in the Word of God, conducting question and answer Bible study sessions. So we really get down to talking about what these roles mean, what these positions mean, so that we as a local body can agree on what our expectations are, so that men and their wives who desire this task can see what will be asked of them. As the Bible says, 1 Timothy 3, verse 1, it is a trustworthy statement. If any man aspires to the office of overseer or an elder or bishop, as all these words mean the same thing, it is a fine work he desires to do. And I want to begin that after I come back from Europe, and which hopefully will be, Lord willing, will be late spring, early summer. And that will go as long as it needs to go for us to have an understanding of this idea as we continue to mature as a body of Christ. More community, outreach and service, small groups, elder and deacon study. That's what I want to do. That's what I want to do. You know, you know, as you get older and older, plans very rarely work out as you want them to work out. They're just my plans. But may His will be done. May God's will be done. We want to do what God wants us to do this year. I don't know what's going to happen in 2019, people. I know what I want to do. I have my plans. But for me to be so conceited to think that it will work out as I wish, or that this is God's will, God's will be done. You know, whatever He wants to do, we will do, and we will glorify through His name. But what do you want to do in 2019 to be more like Jesus? What do you, I'm talking to you, I'm not saying you people, church, Christ, people, individuals, what do you want to do to be more like Jesus in 2019? You know, I obviously invite you to participate in the things that I have spoken to you this morning, along with the other things that I do normally as minister here. My ideas here are church-wide events, church-wide ideas. They would normally gather a lot of people, hopefully. But I really believe every single person here should have a ministry. I believe that the job of a minister, although it is a role that every church should have, should be one where I'm attempting to make my job redundant, okay? That I'm trying to grow everybody to be a minister in their own senses. I believe that really in my core. What are your ministries for 2019? What do you want to do? Because everybody should want to be more like Jesus. This should not be just me, okay? Everybody should want to be like this. So I'm very serious when I say, please come to myself, come to anybody in the CIC, Church Affairs Committee, with your ideas of what you want to do. I'm already hearing ideas. There's already plenty. I'm speaking to people already. Talking with Felicia and Alicia and Celeste. I talking to Celeste yesterday. She has experience with she helped up with voting that takes place, obviously, on a regular basis in this area. And we'd like to see us be a place where we can also be a voting area here for upcoming elections. Once again, the whole point is this, is that we are in a neighborhood. We are in a community. We should be of service to this community. I would love to see our church be a community hub of sorts, letting folks around know that we are here, that we're here. That's really what it's all about, that we are here, and we are here to be of service. We are here to be of service. I ask you, why do you think Jesus Christ turned water to wine? That wasn't the gospel being preached that day. The gospel was not preached that night. And yet Christ turned water to wine. This was Christ in his physical body being of physical use to the people around him, so that people will understand what Christianity is. Notice that when he did that, it was glorifying to Christ anyway, glorifying to God anyway, what he did. Although it wasn't exactly preaching the gospel. If we think that Christianity is just about preaching doctrine only, then look at Christ's life. Sure, he preached doctrine. He gave brand new doctrine. That's part of the one-third of Christ's life. One-third of what Christ did was preaching doctrine. But the other two-thirds, okay, were being with people, all right, talking to people, proving the things that he said by his actions. Please look at the life of Christ. They will hear doctrine as to how to go to heaven after they see that we are real on earth. Let's be the body of Christ here on earth. Let's do our ideas. Let's do our ministries in 2019. If at all possible, we want to see your ministry ideas at work this year. Everything isn't possible, okay? But we want to see more things possible than ever before in this church in 2019. The sermon is yours. And we close with these words, which are also a form of a prayer, in my opinion. As I read these words, I'm in a habit of when I read the Bible, I'm kind of praying the Bible as I read it. Everything I read, I pray to myself. And when I read Philippians 2, 1 through 11, pray it with me. You know, as I read it out loud, this is also a prayer for us for this year, that we can achieve the goals of being like Christ that Paul said that we should be like here. Philippians 2, 1 through 11, as we close, notice how well it fits any church. He says, Philippians 2, verse 1, as we pray and read this out loud, therefore, if there is any encouragement in Christ, if there is any consolation of love, if there is any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and compassion, make my joy complete by being made of the same mind, maintaining the same love, united in spirit, intent on one purpose. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Have this attitude in yourselves, which also was in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant, and being made in the likeness of men. Being found in the appearance of man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, yea, even death on a cross. For this reason also, God highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name which is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow of those who are in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and that every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It's really my entire sermon, just spoken in a much better way by Paul. May that be our prayer. May that be our verse as we look into 2019. This sermon is yours as we stand and sing.